Good morning, everyone. It's really great to be together here as a church family, and as Brian mentioned, as a community of friends as well. So we want to warmly welcome you to Trinity this morning. I also want to extend just a gratefulness for those that were able to have made the celebration of life service yesterday morning for Roger Vasek, and I know that he and his wife Suzanne have been part of the church for many, many years, decades, and Roger himself served in worship team and Christmas musical in so many different ways. So thank you for all those that were able to make it or have expressed their condolences and sympathy for their family. And also, as Brian mentioned, we will be offering this class, New Life class. Basically, it's a Bible study for the next four Sundays. We'll start that next Sunday immediately following service for those that want to be baptized, as well as those that maybe haven't connected in a small group or a Bible study in some time, and we'd love to have you in there, so just let the office know. We completed a series going through 1 John over the past couple of weeks, a couple of months, and during this little bit slower time in the summer, as many families are traveling, a few years ago we went through what we call the Bible Project. And it's been about 2 years since we've done that. I wanted to take a few Sundays to go through one of their themes over the next couple of Sundays between now and the fall. And it's talking about what does it mean to be a royal priest. And so for those that aren't as familiar with the Bible Project, it's put together by Tim Mackey and his partner in crime, John. And they talk like two dudes, young guys. But he has a PhD in Old Testament. He's an Old Testament scholar, and I've been through his material this week, and it is pretty deep stuff. So don't let the animation trick you or fool you into thinking that this is just stuff for young kids or children. And so we're going to start this series. Some of the themes we've hit over the past couple of years, this will be the third summer. So we'll take a few Sundays to go through this. So we're going to actually play the video, and I'm going to jump up and preach a message highlighting some of the things. So if you could pay attention to the screen, and we'll watch this about 4 minute video or so, and then I'll jump back up in just a moment. Thank you. What we plan to do through our loop is we will put the link to the video that we'll be watching the following Sunday. For any of you that would really try to like to make this almost like a family Bible study or for your own personal study, you can watch it before, you can look at the scripture before so that you're not coming in cold turkey and really, I think, get as much out of it as possible. For me growing up, this theme that Bible Project is trying to help us understand is something that I did not grow up with. I've always understood Genesis, and especially what happened in Genesis 3 as we broke God's rules. We're now separated, which we are, of course. And then, of course, Jesus would come, save us from our sins. But as we begin to explore this overarching theme of the Garden of Eden and this call upon our lives as God's royal priests, it really paints a compelling understanding of the scripture that I feel is something that I have not grown up with. And so for some, this will be a little bit, wow, I've never seen it like this. Is it really biblical? Are you sure you're not pulling things out of thin air? I really want to challenge you to be open as we go through this, and I really do believe that you'll find this beneficial and provide a layer of depth to your understanding of the overarching theme of the scriptures as we go through this. Genesis 1, 26 to 28 is something we've looked at a lot, and we often look at it as we think about talking in the context of marriage, family, but often in this theme of royal priesthood, we have not really considered this passage as I believe it does speak to it. And so we'll begin here to read this familiar passage. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing," sorry about the spacing there, "that moves on the earth." And so one of the things we have looked at in looking at Bible Project 2 years ago and over the past year or so, we begin with a very bold claim that once again, I did not grow up with this understanding that all of creation is God's temple. And often when we think of the word temple, we think of a building, we think of the Old Testament tabernacle, and then later Solomon, the son of David, builds a building called the temple. Later that was destroyed by the Babylonians, and then Herod would recreate it in the second temple. But we often think temple is a building, and perhaps understand tabernacle in the Old Testament as this large tent that served the purposes of a temple. But the idea that when God created the cosmos, when he created the universe, when he created our galaxy, when he created our world, this idea that all creation is God's temple, it is his sacred space. And we see that in Genesis 1, Genesis 2, and the video that we just watched. And the proposal that's being given here, of which, once again, is a little bit of a newer understanding from probably what a lot of us have grown up with, or even for myself, is this connection between the temple of God, the Jewish temple, or we can say tabernacle, and our world mirroring one another. And often I've only understood the tabernacle or the temple as a place where you sacrifice animals, the blood cleanses us from our sin, points us to Jesus, and certainly it does. But as we look at this next slide, it's fascinating as we begin to see this parallel. On the left, when we go to the book of Genesis, you have obviously chaos and disorder, and God brings order to his creation, to a world, creating a separation between the dry land and the water. And on that dry land is now the land of Eden, which is a general term for this area. But then specifically, Genesis 2:8 also talks about a specific garden in Eden. And in the center of that garden in Eden is the tree of life. And one thing that we went over, and I did not understand it this way previously, but this idea that when human beings were created by God, we were created to live forever in relationship with him, but physically, in order to continue to live, we would have to partake of the tree of life on an ongoing basis. And think about that for a moment, that in the land of Eden, this Garden of Eden, and then within the center of the Garden of Eden, a very holy and sacred place is the tree of life that we would have to continually partake from in order to continually find ourselves with the life of God in us, to be sustained in our relationship of love and rest and trust. When we look at the Old Testament picture of the tabernacle or the temple. Here we have, once again, the land, Israel, in the Middle East, in Palestine, Jerusalem, the holy city. You have the outward courtyard, and some of us understand that as the place where the Gentiles can come and still worship God. Then you have the holy place, and then you have the Holy of Holies, of which only the high priest will be allowed in the Day of Atonement to offer sacrifices for the sins of the people. And so, for me, this was a newer understanding. I understood what the temple was about, the tabernacle, understood Eden, but the idea that they parallel one another, the idea that we find life in the center of Eden, where there was no separation between us and God. And the Bible Project talks about how heaven and earth together are met in this garden without any separation, where we could walk with God, be in perfect relationship to Him. After the fall, God still created a sacred space and a place in the temple, within the holy place and the Holy of Holies, by which the priest would intercede for us for our sins, and we could still, through that covering of the blood, be able to have a relationship with a holy God, even though we are sinners. And in that relationship, once again, we will find sustenance, joy, and life itself. And so we begin there, as we've watched in that video, to think about how the Garden of Eden is really temple central. If that is the case, then secondly, in what we just watched in this video, Adam and Eve are not just ordinary human beings, but if the Garden of Eden in particular is really a temple of the Lord, centered upon creation, planet Earth, but in the sacred space where the tree of life existed, Adam and Eve take on a very unique role as priests within the Garden of Eden. Often our picture and understanding of Eden is some kind of Shangri-La, where we're just kind of hopping and skipping like 1970s hippies and just having a great time. And we have this understanding often of the Bible and Scripture in our own cultural terms. But as we begin to be challenged by this understanding that the Garden of Eden and the temple are really parallel, that the temple parallels God's original creation intention, that transforms the role of Adam and Eve, not just hopping and skipping over rocks and trees and having a good time, but they were called to be priests within God's good earth, within the Garden of Eden. It's fascinating when you look at Genesis, how it's described, the literal translation, and Yahweh Elohim, Genesis 2:15, took the human and placed him in the Garden of Eden, and the words that are used here, to work it and to keep it, to work and to keep. These two verbs, work and keep, are packed with significance as they portray the ideal vocation of humanity. Yes, we enjoy this unhindered relationship with God, our maker, our creator, of love and peace and sustenance and life. But we are also called to work. Work itself is not sinful. They have been called to be God's priest within Eden, to work and to keep it. Here we have what often so many of us are searching for, which is our identity. Who are we, and what do we do with our lives? As you think about the word word and keep, the Hebrew is actually used throughout the priesthood, describing the same exact work that the priests do within the temple of God. There is a strong religious sense of this one word that's translated either word or keep. It's also translated as worship. So whether it's Adam and Eve working and keeping, worshiping in Eden, or the priest in the temple, there is a parallel connection between the two. Jay Richard talks about this. I thought this was very helpful. I wanted to share this with you in our next slide. The humans are called to imitate or continue God's own creative activity by populating and organizing the remaining unformed and unfilled earth. God has, in other words, started the process of forming and filling which humans, as God's earthly delegates, are to continue. What we see the Father doing in bringing order out of chaos in the early pages of the Bible, in Genesis, is the same task by which Adam and Eve were commissioned in Eden, to work, to toil, to worship in this world as we transform it for God's glory. To think of Adam and Eve's role, not just to enjoy Eden, but actually work and represent God as his priests, is something that, for me, once again, is a newer idea, but as I began to explore and study this, it makes a lot of sense to me, these first human beings. Therefore, thirdly, we today find our vocation in our priestly calling. For those of us that have grown up in the church, or in particular the Roman Catholic Church, and some of you who are coming from that, we're so glad you're here. I know sometimes call me Father Kim, and I don't mind that. But we have our own caricature, our own idea of what a priest is, or a father, or a pastor. And we often think, wow, those guys are, you know, pretty holy, and they represent God, and they bring my hurts and pains to the Lord in their prayers. But if Adam and Eve were indeed called to a priestly role, to work, to toil, to serve the Lord as his representatives, as his image bearers, that role and understanding is not just for them, but it is for you and I as well. It's not just myself or Theo that bear this weight and responsibility and privilege to serve as God's priests, God's pastors, God's shepherds, but we find our vocation in this priestly calling as we go back and see God's original intention and plan, and as we think about Adam and Eve's role in the garden, especially before the fall. We find our vocation in our priestly calling. And as we work through the next couple of Sundays, going through different themes, we'll end with, what does that really mean if God has called us to be his priests? Not our understanding of what a pastor or priest is, but a holy calling that compels us to serve the Lord in our time and in this generation. And so over the next couple of weeks, we'll be exploring this theme. The story of the Hebrew Bible is one where we were created as God's image bears. We use this term, imago Dei, to understand who we are and what we have been created to do. What on earth have I been called to do and be during my short life here on earth? And all those questions that we are searching for, that we are looking for, go back to Genesis. And so once again, we'll begin to explore this. We are made in the image of God, but in our rebellion against him, in our sin, that image has been distorted. It has been broken. And over the next couple of weeks, as we follow these themes, we will see that none of us bear the image of God perfectly anymore. It has been marred. It has been broken. We have lost Eden. We have lost our identity and our role, and we're doing our best to claw our way back, often on our own terms, rather than going back the way in which God intended through his son Jesus. He is the great high priest that we desperately need in order for us to return back to our relationship with God, exemplified in Eden, and our role and our purpose and our work for God. And so what we will see over the next couple of weeks is this idea that we were made in the image of God. It's very unique compared to especially the other ancient religions in the ancient Near East, where they would create idols to represent their God they believed in. But God says, don't create any graven image before me, for my image is displayed in you. And the ministry of the prophet, the priest, and the king were supposed to be modeled by us in this world. But because of sin, that image has been broken. And that's why we are so lost, we are confused, and we are searching and seeking for our purpose and our identity in life. And in this perfect intersection between prophet, priest, and king, the image of God is displayed perfectly in the high priest, the second Adam who was to come, which will be Jesus. Colossians 1:15 reminds us he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Skipping over to verse 19, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. We were created with God's image. We were his image bearers. But in our sin, that image has been distorted. We are now lost. We were kicked out of Eden. And the gospel story points to an image bearer to come, a great high priest who perfectly is the image of the invisible God. The fullness of God was pleased to dwell. It is only in Jesus that we find our own image bearing restored, where we find our calling and our identity. And so three things I want to leave you with this morning. If this is true, all of us, first of all, have a lifelong vacation. Did I say vacation? It's been a long, that'd be a good deal. Lifelong vacation. Vocation. I'm sorry. Oh, my fatigue is coming. Vocation for our lives. Vacations are good too. Oh my gosh, so embarrassing. We all have a lifelong vocation for our lives. So many of us who are still working to support our families, putting kids through school, who aren't retired yet, are slaving away at our work, making ends meet, working very, very hard. No one here is a lazy butt. I know you guys work very, very hard. And we work hard so that maybe one day we can retire and have that rest of our lifelong vacation. And we get so frustrated because so much of our identity is wrapped up in what we do. The challenges of the financial pressures and the times that we live in really take a toll on us. For those of us that have retired recently or decades ago, I think the challenge that we have in our hearts is, am I still relevant? Where do I belong? What can I do? I worked in this career, this industry, did all these things. Now who am I outside of my job, my role, my title, my paycheck? And the gospel reminds us that those things, yes, are important. We need to support our families. We need to work hard. We need to be productive members of society and all those things. But outside of that title or position, who cuts your check, God has given to us a lifelong vocation that doesn't change and stays with us all the days of our lives. He has called us to be his image bearers and his royal priests in a world that so desperately needs him because it is so lost. Even if you're long retired, that doesn't exempt you from your vocation and your calling that God has called you even before you were born. And so we're going to explore that in this understanding of what does it mean to be a royal priest? What did Adam and Eve really do, and how does it impact us? So whether you're retired, whether you still have decades left of work, know that that ultimately is not your identity. God has given to us a plan, a purpose, and a vocation that endures till our final breath. So that's one thing that really struck me as I reflected on this study. Secondly, our goal is to bear God's image, not project our own. And we hear often, and I've used this as well, be the best image of yourself. Be the best that you can be. Reinvent yourself. Be the best version that you can be of yourself. Social media has continued to put that pressure of project that image. But if we go back to Genesis and understand this vocational calling to be God's image bearers as we serve, as we work and keep and toil to spread God's name and fame, to bring order out of chaos in this world as God's royal priest, we realize that it must be his image we bear, not our own. We are so caught up, are we not, projecting our own image, our own family, our own success. That is not our calling. We project his image to the world. So that helps us to recalibrate as the message of the world, which is this calling minus God, project the best image of yourself you can and prove upon yourself. We are reminded that God's call for God's people is we bear God's image, not just project our own. And so, wow, what a challenge as we think about a very different message our world and culture puts upon us. And finally, as I reflect on Eden, and as we'll explore the next couple of weeks, Jesus invites us to return home. If Eden is where we came from, if this was our true beginning, where heaven and earth overlapped one another, when Jesus comes on the scene and says, "He who has seen me has seen the Father," when he calls his initial disciples and communicates to Nathanael, "I tell you, you will see angels, the angels of God, descending back and forth between heaven and earth," hearkening back to Jacob in his dream in the Old Testament. Jesus and the call of the gospel is a grand and compelling invitation for us to return home. Eden is where we belong. A relationship where heaven and earth are reunited now in the person of Jesus. And we will search all of our lives for a place to fit in and feel at home. But if it's not done in Jesus, we will always be longing for a home. And so a return to Eden, indeed, is an invitation to where we once were and where we came from. And so over the next couple of weeks, we will unfold the story of Eden, of humanity's deep need for a royal priest who perfectly bears the image of God that we were called to have, but it was lost and broken through our sin, the Imago Dei. And we will find that in him, our relationship will be restored, and our calling to serve him as God's royal priests continue on a lifelong vocation that gives us purpose and meaning, whether you have long since retired or not. To our dying breath, we have a vocation and a mission to complete. And so, in this summer Bible study series, next Sunday we're going to talk about Abraham, and have you heard of this guy, Melchizedek? We're going to talk a little bit about who he is and why these two are so significant. We'll talk about Moses and Aaron serving as God's priests, David as the priestly king, and we'll talk about Jesus, of course, in the Gospels as the true royal priest, and we'll end with what does this all mean specifically in greater detail for you and I who are called to be God's royal priesthood. Initially, I thought, wow, is this really relevant, and are they going to be bored and complain? Oh my gosh, is this just getting in the weeds of things? No, because if we miss this, we miss the story of the Bible. We miss the understanding that we're not just saved from sin, but we have been saved from that, but we have been saved to something, which is our vocation, our calling, our work. It is good to work, especially when you're doing it for the right person with the right heart and the right goal in mind. This informs all of our discipleship. This informs the goal and ministries of the church. And this informs how we raise our children and influence our grandchildren as we help them to live into not just a 9-to-5 job, which is important, but a lifelong, compelling calling to serve God in our generation as his royal priests. And so we'll explore this over the next couple of weeks. We have a lifelong vocation, not vacation, but vacation is important. Our goal is to bear God's image, not just project our own, and hear throughout the story God's compelling call to return home, to find our identity, our calling, our significance back in him. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for this morning, a chance to introduce this new summer Bible study series, thinking about what does it mean to be your royal priests. And we thank you that we have been reminded of the greatness and goodness of your original plan and intention for humanity. And it's not just for Adam and Eve, it's for us, wherever we are today. Thank you, Father, that you have a compelling vocational call upon our lives. Thank you, Lord, that we have been reminded that you call us home to you as we experience being reunited with our Father. We thank you for this, Lord, and we pray, Lord, for all of us, no matter what stage of life we're at, that we will definitely get greater clarity on your purpose, your plans, and your vocational call upon our lives, that we would be faithful and that we would serve you faithfully in our generation. So we give you thanks, Father, and we pray you'd be with us for the next couple of Sundays as we explore this topic. In Jesus' name, amen.